39. Battle for the Roost.
From snout to tail tip, a Gangolin is between 90 and 120 finials long, although I have heard that some have grown as large as 150 finials.
From Colvinar Bryhume's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 252. Calamir spun at the frantic voice that called his name. The illusion of Mr. Callis sped toward him and the few squad leaders preparing for battle. They all turned, equally puzzled.
"Commander," the illusionist cried, "the monster is inside the roost."
Calamir flinched. How had it breached the Barjan?
"Where is it?"
"It's approaching from the stairwell you dubbed number 3.
The illusion pointed across the camp in the direction opposite the tower.
"But, Commander, it looked like Captain Edara."
Mr. Callis related how he had sent an illusion to Stairwell 3 and informed the Barjanists of the monster's approach. Upon his arrival, they told him that the sea captain had just descended to find his crew. As they talked, Mr. Callis watched through the map as the dot representing the monster entered the 33rd floor. The one he supposed belonged to Edara winked out, but then through his illusion he saw the sea captain banging on the Barjan.
"And they were confused. I told them not to let him in, but then the captain burst into orange light and the monster was in his place. It shattered the Barjan before they could reinforce it."
"We have to kill that thing," said a squad leader.
Calamir nodded and looked about the staging area. Most of the camp had been torn down. Only a few tents remained, including the one where the Mindalarnians were held. Besides himself, 30 soldiers were gathered in what had been the mess area. All were ready for battle, and many wielded the Tebasrol weapons found in the treasury. Nearly as many mages were also in the staging area.
"Recall everyone," he said. "We will converge on this monster and kill it once and for all."
Several squad leaders darted away. Mirrodin and another dashed in the direction they had sent the supplies. Over half of the survivors had traveled to the pit Mr. Saterin had mentioned. Though they probably weren't prepared for battle, the trek from that side of the roost would grant them ample time to ready themselves.
"Move to the tower!"
Calamir shouted, reaching for one of the Tevisrol weapons that looked like only an ornate sword hilt. At first glance, one might think the blade had been broken at the curved guard, or that it never had a blade to begin with. Much of the handle was covered with etched, scaled patterns, ending in a claw-like pommel that clutched a reddish-orange jewel. Upon his touch, the hilt burst with flame, and a blade formed as if it were made of condensed fire. Incantations sounded around Amandal as he and his friends rode the cisterns. They galloped at a furious pace, weaving around the tree-trunk buildings of the roost. When enhanced, cisterns were almost as fast as a Yiddoth. Almost. Fench had since flown away, undoubtedly terrified by the prospect of Orath Issian entering his home. Poor thing. A veil of blue light surged around Amandal, and a form-fitting Barjan washed across his robe. Soon another wave of Barjan wrapped around the cistern he rode.
"Don't forget the Yeltis,"
he shouted to Morjadayan. The Barjanist raised a brow while mustering more of his magic. They soon arrived at the clearing housing the Tulidine Tower. Both earthen giants stood outside the entrance as still as statues. Amandal rode up to them and leapt off the cistern. Landing with a grin, he turned back to the others.
"When we return home, we'll have to do some cistern racing,"
he laughed giddily.
"Can't you imagine the faces of patrons exiting Machavir's lounge as we bolt past?"
"You really are mad," Morjadayan said with a sigh.
Amandal mustered the magic to reclaim the conjurations. As the gray light surged into the earthen giants, thunderous footsteps echoed from beyond the nearby buildings.
"It's here," Ildan muttered. "Why would the monster come here?"
Felenia asked, then began mustering a disintegrating Barjan. As Amandal repeated the incantation, a flash of blackened orange darted from the tree-trunk buildings, and Orath Issian bounded across the clearing. He leapt into the air and cleared the tower's second tier, slamming into the third with a resounding crash.
"Did it crack the stone?" Ildan blurted.
The others hurried away as Amandal finished the reclaiming incantation. His magic surged into another conjuration, and as before, he didn't feel any additional mental strain by claiming the earthen giants. How strange! He glanced to his friends, who were staring in horror at the tower, then hurried to them. Orath Issian climbed swiftly, pushing himself from the sixth tier. He grabbed the bridge extending into the enormous map of Tartalim and swept his maimed arm across it. Two figures, one surrounded by green light and the other a gray hue, flew from the magical map. They cried in surprise as they plummeted toward the tree-trunk buildings, but soon disappeared.
No! Ilden wailed.
No, no!
Mojadayan bellowed a fierce growl, then uttered another incantation, mustering more barjan. Felinia gasped, her face contorting in dismay. Furious, Amandal returned his gaze to the monster. Orath Issian threw a fist inside the room atop the tower's seventh tier. Was he trying to destroy the map? Somehow he knows about it. After several blows, the map surrounding the bridge flickered, then vanished. The bridge collapsed, and Orath Issian fell with it. His middle arms tried to grab onto the lower tiers, but he couldn't manage a grip and crashed into the nearby clearing. Unfazed, the monster shook himself, rose to his feet, and turned toward Amandal and his friends.
So you salvaged the beast caller's puppets, Orath Issian snickered. But they do not stand up. You!
Orath Issian's violet eyes fell upon Amandal, his bizarre snout contorting in confusion.
How are you not a driveling idiot?
Faint commotion carried from the buildings behind Amandal. Incantations. Then footsteps?
Calamir's coming,
Ilden said, and Mojadayan finished his incantation. A wave of barjan surrounded one of the earthen giants as the monster shifted his attention to the noises.
No matter, Orath Issian bellowed. This time I will claim the Tuladine.
The monster charged as the commotion grew louder, and battle cries carried into the clearing. Felinia and Ilden darted in opposite directions while Mojadayan held his ground, uttering another incantation. Focused through each conjuration, Amandal advanced them on Orath Issian. The Yeltas and the monster clashed, and they tumbled into the clearing. Orath Issian pinned the Yeltas with his left foremost arm, while his middle arms pummeled the conjuration's barjan. Amandal struggled, but couldn't move the Yeltas. The beast's barjan began to flicker. He thrust the Yeltas's knee into Orath Issian's gut as the earthen giants converged upon the monster. Orath Issian swatted at them with his rearmost arms, but Amandal managed to dodge the blows. The monster swung its tail, and Amandal knew the precise moment to throw the conjurations out of the way. Blue light shot past Orath Issian, surrounding the other earthen giant as it recovered. The battle cries grew louder, and soldiers, enhanced and protected by magic, flooded around Orath Issian. Amid those charging were Dougal and Jacob. The soldiers drew Orath Issian's attention, and he reared off the Yeltis. With the conjuration freed, Amandal immediately scuttled the furry beast away.
What is that thing? Jacob gasped.
You don't want to know, Dougal said and turned to Mojadayan. Shall we try to shackle it?
Mojadayan nodded, but he was mustering more barjan.
Wait, Amandal called. Before you do that, make me some weapons. Big weapons.
To Calamir's surprise, the monster was quite agile. It moved through the clearing with incredible speed, snatching soldiers as it bounced from either side of the advancing force. The monster squeezed them with its middle and rear arms, not seeming to care about their destructive barjans. Calamir and the others charged with impeccable speed and accuracy, but the monster managed to move before they could land many blows. To Calamir's dismay, not even the weapons from the treasury managed to penetrate the creature's ebony hide. With an enraged growl, the monster swept its maimed arm toward Calamir, hurling away several soldiers. But Calamir managed to evade the blow. Rebounding, he dashed toward the monster and neared its legs, his magical weapon ready. Flame met that ebony hide, but the blade failed to pierce it.
How many times must we strike you?
He landed another blow, but the monster kicked him away. A scream filled the air as Calamir tumbled backward. He landed on his back, watching in horror as the monster crushed a squad leader and another soldier with its bare hands. Their dying wails faded as the creature hurled them away. Growling, Calamir pushed himself up and darted back toward the monster. As he advanced, Mr. Aramian's conjurations pulled away. The monster didn't seem to care. It crushed another soldier and tossed the dead man aside. Once near its legs, Calamir lunged with his flaming blade raised high. He instinctively brought his shield arm across his chest, though he lacked a bulwark. The fiery blade sliced along the black hide. Flame persisted along the blade's path, but if it charred the monster, he couldn't tell. Bursts of pink light flashed above him, accompanied by booming explosions. The monster spun, and Calamir chased after it. Acidic orbs flew through the air, as well as orange cords, life-draining magic from the necromancers. The cords latched onto the monster's middle right arm, but they didn't seem to weaken it in the slightest. The woman in the clutches of that hand was still squeezed, her barjan flickering.
"Your defiance amuses me,"
the monster bellowed, hurling two more corpses from its grasp. Violet light tinged Felinia's vision as she finished her incantation. A disintegrating beam shot above the battle, striking the Orath monster's neck. As before, the blast barely eroded the monster's flesh. The beam persisted for barely a heartbeat before the monster spun away and Felinia's magic sailed over the distant buildings. She groaned, redirecting the violet beam toward the center of the roost. The Orath monster was moving too fast for her to keep a steady blast on one particular spot.
Perhaps a beam is not the best choice.
The monster skidded across the clearing, swatting a female soldier with its tail. She flew toward Felinia, crashed to the ground beside her, and tumbled by. Meanwhile, several other mages assaulted the Orath monster with their magic. One of the necromancers had a life-draining cord latched around the monster's rearmost right arm. Arcane orbs erupted around the cord while acidic javelins struck the monster's elbow. An icy shard collided with that arm, but it shattered upon impact.
Why are they attacking the limbs? She wondered, redirecting her disintegrating beam.
The violet magic struck the Orath monster's neck again, but at a different point than the first. As it had before, the monster evaded, nearly colliding with one of the Tulidine buildings. Felinia tried to redirect her magic, but the beam struck the ground. She dismissed the blast and took in the battle with a sweeping glance. The mages continued assailing the Orath monster with their magic, striking erratically. Soldiers swung their weapons, hitting the monster as best they could, but they rarely landed a second blow. Amandal's conjurations had since pulled back. The Yeltis was kneeling, reaching for the ground. The conjured beast lifted a glistening double-edged sword surrounded by a faint blue aura. Brown light shone from the ground near the other conjurations, flowing from Dougal.
Transmuting weapons, she thought, and reinforcing them with barjan. Good thinking, Amandal.
But those weapons wouldn't be enough to pierce the monster's flesh. Focused on the transmuted blade, Felinia began mustering a disintegrating enhancement. Violet light soon shot from her hands, zipping across the clearing toward the Yeltis's weapon. It surged around the transmuted blade, persisting like a cloud. Amandal, who was standing near Dougal and Morjadayan, turned toward her and blew her a kiss, his arm moving in an exaggerated arc. The boyish gesture almost made her forget their predicament. She replied in kind as the earthen giant reached for the ground. The elemental's blade had not yet formed.
Best I wait, she thought, glancing back to the battle.
The Orath monster dodged a variety of bolts and orbs. Needing a better vantage, she glanced to the tower. There was an opening in the vines not far from where she stood. She turned back to the earthen giants, and the conjuration had already lifted its blade. Repeating the last incantation, Felinia hurried to what she assumed was the tower's entrance. The clearing in the vines had a circular outline etched into its surface. If it were a door, she had no idea how to open it.
She finished her second disintegrating enhancement and hurled it across the clearing. As it wrapped around the transmuted weapon, she dismissed her disintegrating barjan and reached for the nearby vines. They were thin and brittle. Several crumbled at her touch.
Too weak to climb.
She stepped back, gauging the height of the tower's lowest tier. It was about 3 stories above her. A tale from her youth came to her mind of a mage climbing buildings with ensnaring tentacles. Pleased with the idea, Belinia uttered an incantation and green light surged around her.
That's 15, Amandal thought, watching as another limp man was hurled toward the tower.
Though all the soldiers were encased in multiple layers of barjan, Orath Issian was able to crush their protective barriers before the barjanists could reinforce them. Though he was darting back and forth, Orath Issian was maneuvering the soldiers, pushing them closer to the mages.
What is he trying to do?
Amandal glanced back to the tower, eyeing the 7th tier.
Does he know we could track him?
If so, Amandal hadn't the slightest idea how the monster knew. He began to return his gaze to the tower, but stopped upon seeing Felinia scaling the 2nd tier. Green tendrils were wrapped around her waist, connecting her to the ledge of the 3rd tier.
A higher vantage would be better.
Dougal had nearly finished his incantation when Ildan approached with several illusions surrounding him.
The last one's ready,
Dougal said, and began walking toward the battle, uttering another incantation. Mor'jedain finished mustering another layer of protection for the Yeltis and turned to Ildan.
We could use your help.
Doing what?
Ildan asked.
Shackling Orath Issian,
Amandal said, and focused through his conjurations.
So we can kill him.
The earthen giant hefted the sword, and then Amandal sent all 3 conjurations running toward the monster. He glanced back to Felinia, who was not quite halfway to the tower's 3rd tier.
She can imbue the last one later.
Mor'jedain grunted and briefly relayed his plan to Ildan. It was a variation of what they had tried on the 21st floor, but this time it would involve transmuted metal and barjan. He wanted the illusionist to coordinate with any other barjanists and transmuters.
If we can bind him all at once, we should be able to hold him long enough for Amandal and the mages to strike death blows.
Ildan nodded and sent his illusions flying. Ignoring his friends, Amandal focused completely on his conjurations. The earthen giants reached the battle first and swung their weapons in unison. Orath Issian spun, knocking several soldiers into the nearest Tuladine home. His tail sped through the air in an arc straight for the Yeltis's face. Amandal turned the beast, blocking the tail with the conjuration's sword. As in their last bout, Orath Issian ignored the soldiers. He still held several in his rear hands, squeezing them until their barjans shattered. But this time, instead of crushing them, he dropped them. They fell through that haze of his, screaming in terror as they hit the ground. Orath Issian lunged at the conjurations, kicking one of the giants. The elemental tumbled toward the tower as the monster spun on the Yeltis, knocking the beast away. Before Amandal could recover either of them, Orath Issian unleashed a flurry of blows on the last earthen giant. Amandal reacted by dodging the first, blocking the second, and parrying the third, but Orath Issian's tail swept the conjuration's leg out from under it. The earthen giant fell, crushing several soldiers. Luckily, their barjans held true. Orath Issian spun back to the soldiers, snatching 2 more.
Well, that was worthless, Amandal thought. Maybe I should learn more combat tactics.
He pushed the 3 conjurations upright as his incantations turned to humming. Amandal held the conjurations back while glancing to his friends. Both Dougal and Mor'jedain were holding their incantations. The ground in front of them had been liquefied, and Mor'jedain was nearly consumed by blue light.
They're almost ready, Ildan said.
Orath Issian continued his rampage, crushing another soldier and tossing him aside.
Now!
The liquefied ground in front of Dougal arced into the air, changing from a dull brown to glistening gray. 3 other columns of transmogrified ground sped through the air, racing toward Orath Issian. An enraged growl filled the air as dirt transformed into metal wrapped around the monster's arms and legs. Ensnaring tentacles shot from several other mages, also binding him in place.
Go!
Amandal commanded, and the conjurations charged.
While they ran, Phelinia imbued the bear transmuted sword. Battle cries filled the air as the conjurations reached Orathisian. The remaining soldiers had converged upon the monster, hacking at its legs and forearms. All but one of Orathisian's arms was bound.
"A clever tactic,"
Orathisian shouted. Destructive beams and deadly bolts struck him. The conjurations swung their blades after the magic, striking the monster's back. The blades recoiled, but Amandal swung them again as Orathisian cackled,
"A pity it will not work."
The conjurations swung again, and Orathisian burst with an orange flash. Their weapons sailed through the light. Each transmuted shackle buckled as orange lightning surged past the crowd of soldiers. The man in the monster's clutches fell, his barjans shattering upon impact. Calamir blinked in disbelief. The monster was gone, replaced by a streak of orange lightning that struck the ground, spraying dirt and grass. Earthen debris collided with Calamir's barjan as the light coalesced into a blazing orange ball that skidded across the ground. Within it was the silhouette of a man crouching. Mr. Cheval and Mr. Callis had speculated that the monster could change shape, but Calamir hadn't expected the transformation to be so majestic. Calamir spun as the light soon faded. A naked, blonde-haired man, covered in fresh wounds and missing his right hand, tumbled through the clearing between the mages and soldiers. The others were equally shocked, but quickly regained their composure and charged. The naked man rolled across the ground, grabbing one of the Tevisrol weapons dropped by a fallen soldier. He leapt to his feet as the blade burst with violet light. Not a heartbeat later, he charged at those advancing upon him. He swung his blade at a soldier without barjan, decapitating the man.
"Surround him!"
a squad leader shouted. The naked man pushed his way past several soldiers until he was surrounded. But instead of attacking, he burst with an orange flash. A surge of orange lightning shot from the crowd and exploded near a tree-like building. The monster's silhouette appeared within the light, skidding like the naked man. The light faded and the monster collided with the tree-like building, splitting it in two. What manner of monster was this, and transforming from something so large to the size of a man? How was that even possible? Shaking the conundrum aside, Calamir shouted for his soldiers to attack once again.